You know, when I look at Lot's life, I see different attributes of God, of God's character, of God's love, because God did not have to rescue Lot. He did not have to do it. But it tells me something about God and his righteousness, that when God tags his name to you, you now become a very valuable, valuable entity in his kingdom. Whenever you give your life to Jesus Christ, you become someone that God adores, that God loves so much that he's willing to do whatever it takes to rescue the righteous. I found out that in life, people will say one thing and mean something else. I found out that you may think that they are for you, but it's only when you're put into a situation that you will discover who's really, really for you, but what they really think about you. Hold on to that thought for a minute, okay? And so when the righteous fall, they will never see that God is trying to rescue them, because for some reason they are clouded and blinded by whatever it is that they have got themselves into. Some people choose not to respond to the rescue mission. Last week I told you it was God's what? Grace. God's mercy. God's power. Come on, help me somebody. Amen. And it's only because of God's grace, his mercy, and his power are we able, amen, to make it through. Because can I tell you something? We haven't been all that good. Come on, help me somebody. Even on our best day, listen, somebody going to testify with me today and help me this morning to say, even on my best day, it didn't seem like I'm deserving of what God has given me, but I found out something about God. Grace is an amazing thing. Mercy is even awesome, because mercy is his compassion. Grace is him giving us the favor. Found out something about Lot's name. Lot's name means to cover up. To throw a veil over. In other words, Lot lived undercover in a place that God detested. And he was so much so undercover, amen, that he went undetected for a long time. In other words, I'm not even mad at Lot. Lot was living up to his name. He covered up his life. He covered up everything. And God had delivered Sodom and Gomorrah, amen, some 15 years before this event has happened. But Sodom and Gomorrah went right back. The city went right back to the sins that God detested. Are you with me? And so the question I have for you today is, why is your testimony so important? Well, I'll tell you why. Jesus has no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Your eyes are the eyes that he looks through with compassion to the world. Your feet, amen, is what he uses to walk to do good. Your hands is how is through. Those hands of yours is how he blesses people. But to live one way and do something differently, or to do something differently and live another way, it confuses people. Come on, help me somebody. Can I ask you something? Is anybody confused by your life? Oh, I wish I had somebody. That on church you're amening, but at home you're saying something else. That they see you in places you don't belong. And I think that our testimony is one of the greatest things that God has given us as evidence that he is real. Do I have anybody? Christians have become so comfortable in the world that you can't tell the difference. Are you with me? And so God gave us freedom, but don't let your freedom be turned into an opportunity to cause somebody else to fall. Are you with me? Lot is a great example of a righteous man who was curious about the world, but he got caught up. And when he got caught up, even though he did not participate in the sin of homosexuality, his silence was just as sinful. For he knew what was right, but he didn't call it out. Imagine that. Imagine you can find comfort with unbelievers, but no comfort with believers. I'm just trying to figure it out, y'all. Can I tell you this? He had no intentions of leaving this lifestyle behind. He had no intentions, but God had to send his rescue mission to get him. But yet Lot still did not want to go. Can I ask you a question? What are you fighting God on? What is he trying to pull out of your life that he was still holding on to it? And he keeps telling you, come on now, I need you to leave that alone. I need you to come on and help me somebody. And let me say this to you. If you are really convinced that God is who he says he is, then he's powerful enough to deliver you. God will not leave the righteous alone until we get back to the place where we need to be. He, watch this, Lot had convinced himself that it's okay to live like this. I ain't hurting nobody. That's the devil's trick, y'all. The greatest trick of the devil is when he said, I didn't do it. Or cause us to believe that God is unfair. But when the righteous ruins their testimony. I'm going to do a contrast today. I'm going to do the opposite. I want to talk about this right here. Rebuilding a testimony. Let's look at it. Verse 14, he says, look. He says, look what it says. It says, Lot, this is after the angels had already spoken to him. Check it out. Verse 14. Lot went out and spoke to his what? Son-in-law. Who were, oh, we're going to get that in a minute. Now, let me tell you what the word spoke means there. So the word for spoke is the word dabar. And dabar is not just speaking, he was preaching. Wait a minute. So in the Hebrew language, when they heard the words from him, they were hearing it as a sermon. Do you not know that your life is a sermon? The word also means to counsel. You ever had somebody try and tell you what to do, but they ain't doing it? Oh, come on, help me. Somebody. I'm going to say it one more time. You ever have somebody try and tell you what to do, but they ain't doing it? Don't fall asleep on me now. It's early. I just got back. I'm feeling Miami Vice. Are you with me? Pain, you with me? Check it out. Check it out. The word dabar means what? To preach. To proclaim. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. To counsel. So here's the thing. If I'm going to rebuild, so I'm trying to look at Lot later on in life, right? If I'm going to rebuild the testimony because my testimony is already shot, first thing I believe we have to do is we have to make every effort to practice. Tell your neighbor your life is a sermon. Just sermon until the day I die. See, he went to his son-in-law to be. Watch this. Watch this now. Watch this. And here's the thing. Preaching when it does not have meaning to you anymore, it's not because the word ain't powerful. It's because the life lived is not powerful. Oh, I wish I had somebody. When Lot spoke, they were skeptical. Because, watch this, he didn't live what he preached. He was what I call an inactive preacher. I wish I had somebody. He was a preacher on ice. He decided that I don't want to live this thing no more. Guess what? I'm just going to go about my life. Listen, Lot became very successful, but he thought he did it without God. Can I help you with something? The reason why I'm doing spiritual warfare this week, because I realize that those that desire to live godly will be persecuted, but you and I got to know that that trouble won't last. That God has given us the equipment that we need. He's given us the word. All we have to do is live in obedience to his word. Do I have anybody? But listen, if you're going to rebuild a testimony, you got to make every effort to practice what you preach. Look at the text. The text goes on to say, he says he got up. Yeah. And this is what he tells his son-in-law to be. Look what he said to them. He says, up, get out of this place. Watch this, for that judgment is coming. Sometimes it's so hard. You know, God puts something in your spirit by way of the Holy Spirit, by revelation through the word of God. I ain't talking about stuff that just fall out the sky. I'm talking about confirmed truth. And you share that with somebody. Come on, somebody. But yet they don't believe it. And so I believe you're going to rebuild your testimony. Here's the second thing is you got to make sure you believe the message. And can I tell you something? Lot didn't believe it. But he was sharing it. People would not receive the warnings from a person's life who's weak in living. Imagine all this time, this is the first time Lot has said the Lord's name since he'd been in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's hard to call on the Lord when you walk away from him. It's hard to pray to him and believe that he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Watch this, when you have no association with him. This is the first time that, watch this, that he has used the Lord's name. Listen, our conversations are important. He is warning them. Watch this, yet he himself did not believe that it was about to happen. He was moved by fear. But I'm going to show you something in a minute. Oftentimes, we stop believing the message. Listen, you're hearing the it's gonna rain. It's gonna rain. How many years was that? 200 years? Was it 200 years? 250 years? That Lot preached the same sermon? The Bible says they were eating, they were drinking, they were partying, they were marrying, they were doing all of that, but yet they did not heed the message. They did not believe the message. And I believe that if a person's testimony is going to become even more powerful. See, here's the thing. God wants to use us after we've fallen. God wants to take us after he's rescued us, that we will have an even more powerful testimony to tell the world that God never gave up on me. Listen, I ain't talking about people. God never gave up on me. And sometimes when I don't feel like it, come on and help me somebody. It seems to me that God just steps in right on time and he gives me exactly what I need. But I have to believe the message. He says, listen, get up, get out of this place. Now God is using him as a missionary. He's using him as a prophet. He's using him as a preacher, even though he didn't want to preach. Come here, Jonah. See, there's a lot of reluctant people that God wants to use. As a matter of fact, I think the more stubborn you are, the more he wants to use you. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Because when he delivers you out of your stubbornness, he will humble us to the point where we want to do everything for him. Anybody here been stubborn before? Some of you still stubborn. Amen. And let me tell you what he'll do to you. He'll humble you Amen. But he appeared. And you know, he appeared to his son-in-law to be what? Jesting. Now, I want to say this word is a pretty interesting word to me. Because when I look at this word, I think about it. I said, man, what is he saying? Okay, first of all, he appears to be a comedian. That's the gist of the word. So the idea in Hebrew, when you look at a Hebrew word, it paints pictures. For Greek is for intellect. Hebrew paints pictures. So in other words, it appeared to them that this dude, he's a comedian. Are you serious? Like, for real? Yeah, oh yeah. So he appeared to them as laughing. They were laughing at him. They thought he was joking. Yeah, God ain't destroying. Which God? Remember, they don't know God. And this is the first time Lot has used the name Lord. The same Lord that brought him out of Haran. The same God that guided them all the way through. Lot has had experiences with God that they had never had. Do I have a witness? God gave Abraham that land and he brought him in there with Lot. Lot got the best of the land. He seen it, but he blew it. So it tells you he wasn't a good steward. Then he goes into Sodom and Gomorrah, makes a name for himself, and now he talks about God to his son-in-law to be. They ain't never talked about God. Let me help you right quick. Watch this. Some of us, we only talk to God when it's convenient or when something go wrong. But our conversations are not about God. Our conversations are very few about God. Now, you can praise him, you can pray to him, but are you talking about him? But when you believe the message, you will transfer the message. When you believe the message, you can transfer the message. When you believe the message, you could talk about the message. You could say, oh man, you should have been there to hear what I heard on Sunday morning, that God has something for my life. Do I have anybody? And here's the thing you got to know. The next thing you got to know is make sure you can handle rejection until your lifestyle changes. Ain't nobody gonna take you serious. His message of judgment was not, can you imagine? His message of judgment was not believed because his own personal testimony was meaningless. He had lived a carnal life. He had lived a worldly life for so long, and now he's trying to witness to them. May I ask you a question? When God arrests you, watch this. All that stuff you've been doing with your friends, I'm talking to young people and old people too. Seasoned saints. And now it's serious time, but nobody's taking you. You ever talk to a person, they don't take you serious? They're like, they think you're joking. They think like, oh man, shit, hey man. Oh yeah, he's just going through. But judgment is coming. And maybe your words can, and your life, not just your words, but your life can make a difference in somebody else's life by the way you live in front of them. I tell my children all the time, you can't do everything in front of everybody. Come on, help me somebody. Now listen, we have liberty and we have freedom, but there's just some things I ain't doing with you. Because I don't know how strong your faith is. And if my faith causes your faith to linger or fall, causes you to fall, guess what that does to me? That's like putting a millstone around my neck and I'm jumping in the sea. In other words, I'm drowning myself. And so I believe we got to make sure we can handle what? Rejection. Just because you get serious about God while you were wilding out doesn't mean that everybody's ready to live that same kind of life that you're talking about. You know how people get all excited after they done fell and got back? Keep living and rebuild your testimony so that you can become a stronger force. And here's the thing. Over time, people will trust you again. See, you, listen, let me just say this to you. The people you think you're doing dirt with now, can I help you with something? They're talking about you. Look where you are this morning. Are they sitting next to you? Come on and help me now. Amen. Look, let's go on now. Let's go on. Woo, Lord, verse 15. It says, when morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Now watch this now. Watch this now. You ever notice? This is why your testimony is important. The angels never spoke to his son-in-law. The angel sent Lot to speak to the son-in-law. But then the angel spoke to Lot. Because Lot was the messenger. Come on, help me somebody. See, the angel wouldn't speak to them. You know why? Because they couldn't recognize him. But you have the Holy Spirit in you. You know when that ain't right. You know, come on and help me somebody. You know what the Holy Spirit is telling you right now. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. They're not going to speak to the people that watch this that don't know him. So the next thing we got to do if we're going to rebuild this testimony, you got to make sure you're willing to obey God's instructions. Yes. He's giving him every opportunity to save his family. I wish I had somebody. Can I tell you something? The two is one. Are you with me? And here's the thing. The God is not going to be good to you and not good to the people in your life. God can't. Listen, you can't do it without your wife and your wife can't do it without you. Do I have somebody? And I want to say this to you, but people of God, we have to heed the warnings that God is giving you. That's why we have stop signs. Come on, y'all. That's why when the train is coming, the bars go down, the handles go down to stop you from watching. The tracks are there to tell you something. And there are times people will abuse God's grace and mercy. The angels never spoke to his son-in-laws. They there was a chance that they could have been what? Delivered. Imagine God wants our deliverance more than we want it for us. Imagine that God kept after Lot more than Lot wanted God. How can God want you more than you want God? Come on, somebody. It means that if God wants me so bad, watch this, and I ain't paying attention, it's because I'm not paying attention or I'm abusing his grace and his mercy. Imagine that God sees what we don't see, but then when God reveals what we need to let go, we won't let it go. Listen, this is the next day. He says, watch this. He says, up, take your wife. And what? And your two daughters who are here. Now let's look at that last part of that verse, and I'm sitting down. Or you will be swept away in the punishment. You want to do it for your city. Do it for the 713. Go ahead and do it for the 713 if you want. I ain't doing it for no 713. I ain't doing it for no block. I ain't doing it for no streets. I ain't doing it for nobody. If God tell me get out of that city, I'm gone. But some of us are so loyal to the city that we're willing to die for it. I hope. I read a sign yesterday. It says, eternity is forever. I wish I had somebody. And God is sending the message. Right? Watch this, y'all. Watch this. Watch this. Make sure you're willing to obey the instructions. But my last point is this. Make sure you can live with the consequences. Make sure that when you make up your mind, oh, I wish I had somebody. That, listen, that what you're talking about, don't make no sense. I hear you, but listen, my pleasure feels good right now. But just make sure that you're sure that you can live. Hell is real. They're comparing hell's heat to Texas heat. That don't even compare. And can I say this? Can I say this? It would be a tragedy that what Deacon Robbins preached about, talked about last Sunday, that many of you will say in that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not perform miracles in your name? And he will say to you in that day, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. I'm asking you a question. Is your pleasure that deep? Is it that good that you're willing to live with the consequences? Lot, he says, listen, man, now listen, we done gave you every opportunity. We done presented the case, it's there. Matter of fact, when steam rises, it goes up, right? When snowflakes fall, they come down. But both of them are made of the same thing, water. But they're going in two different directions. One's up, one's down. And so why? Because even though they're made of the same basic stuff, point is they're not heading in the same direction. And what I'm saying to you today is you got to make sure that not only do you preserve your testimony, but you make sure you're going in the right direction. Two people made of the same stuff. Lord have mercy. Flesh and blood. But you're going in different directions. Two believers. One walking the path. One not walking the path. But they're made of the same stuff. But they're going in a different direction. I encourage you to not only preserve your testimony, but protect your testimony. Okay, listen, the devil wants no more. Listen to what the devil wants. Listen to me. He wants us. You know what the devil gets most believers? Holy Spirit just showed me this. Bad attitude. We go off real quick. All right, we snap, like, and that's the first starting point. That's where he lives. And until you open, you're blessed. But it takes time to grow and develop and become the person that God wants you to be. Amen? Give God.